we don't have to like drink. We don't have to take drugs. Like, it's sick to just go out, drink seltzer and dance, you know? Like, when I want to be a responsible raver, I'll definitely just like drink mad seltzer and like, oh man, I have to wake up at 9 in the morning. All right, cool. Well, all right. I'll do it up. I'll dance. And then, I'll catch like, you know, the headliner for like half of their set. And then, you know, just creep out through the, like through the back door and
a little Irish goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Always Irish goodbye.
Hey, what's up? This is Jacqueline, and you're tuned into Current Mood. The song you just heard is from Nigel Rubirosa, who is our guest today. It's called No Mezcal and the Watermelon.
What I really wanted to talk about with Nigel was the evolution of nightlife and music culture and DJ culture in New York. It's kind of a mysterious thing because a lot of stuff happens after dark in basements and in various locations that are not on the internet. So yeah, so Nigel and I sat down and kind of talked about what's happened in nightlife and in entertainment and music over the last, you know, 2 decades in New York. Good stuff.
Yeah, so I'm here with my friend, Nigel, or as some call you, what does people call you?
People call me Franklin. Nasty Nigel. Nasty Nigel is what I go by in the streets.
In the streets?
Mm-hmm.
Which streets?
The streets of Queens, New York. And I guess all of New York, too.
So we're here today kind of talking about, I want to say culture, but not like for the culture, just culture in general, and specifically music and DJ culture in New York. I was just curious, like, what borough you grew up in and kind of how that played into your overall identity as an artist and as somebody participating in nightlife culture.
I was born and raised in Corona, Queens. So I grew up on hip hop, and on top of me DJing, I also am in a rap group from Queens. And we're World's Fair, and I want to say I grew up on like the Beatnuts, Noriega, Tribe, Nas, Pharoah, Mob, like the list goes on.
Yeah.
I got laid off from this like, you know, shoe store. I was collecting unemployment for a hot minute, and music was picking up in a way where like, well, I can't just work because I'm going to end up calling out every other day because I had to perform a lot. I had to travel too.
And, yeah.
You know, making music, there's really no money in it on top of that. So, you know, we were paying for our own travel.
Wow, which is a whole other podcast.
Yeah. We were paying for our travels. So I had to do something on the side that would make me money, especially something that was under the table.
Mm-hmm.
So I started DJing at all these dive bars across New York City. So it's like a completely different nightlife that I'm a part of now, but it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's all me just showing up, knowing my records and mm-hmm. playing them and making sure people were still dancing, still mm-hmm. buying drinks.
Did you actually play records or like what was your
first
DJing instrument?
Definitely. I was definitely on this Sony Vios laptop that my mom found at the airport.
Wow.
Yeah,
shout out Madux.
Yeah. And I had Serato running out of it. It was super janky. The more I started doing these parties, people started catching on, like, oh, that's Nigel from, you know, from Rap Life. So I started getting booked more and more to do rap parties, and
yeah,
so I started catering more to like the actual dance aspect of it.
Got
instead
it.
Of just like, you know, placing a mood
mm-hmm.
and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got into, you know, the rap thing, I'm like, well, you know, I already rap, and there's so much more that I want to play for people. Like, I really enjoyed playing, you know, rock and roll because it was just something where I got to listen to songs that I normally don't get to listen to. You know, like, I don't want to listen to, let's say, like, Suge Knight's Part 2. while I'm DJing, because I'm already going to play Strickland's Part 2 right before I go on stage to perform, you know. And I really love that song, but I'm not trying to hear that song 24/7.
So DJing is not just for other people, it's for you.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You know, I just, it's like when you demo a song, you want to play it in the car.
Right, car test.
I'm just like demoing other people's songs, and I just want to keep on playing their songs. And that's what I really love about, you know, playing tunes out. And from there, I got into digging deeper into like electronic music, just because, you know, I grew up on house and freestyle. My mom being a single Hispanic Dominican in the 80s and 90s, you know, naturally that's what my mom was. My mom was, you know, just playing all these tunes while she would clean the house. And it was just sick hearing these songs as an adult. Like, oh yeah, I remember this. I never knew the name of it, but you know, this is like a big tune that my mom would play.
And yeah.
And fast forward, I moved on exclusively, you know, to playing electronic music. And here I am playing, you know, all these little raves. And
I'm really interested in the rave part, because I also went to raves, and that was kind of like my introduction to music that was not on the radio. That and kind of like growing up with a musical family. But raves like really opened my eyes to electronic music, to like different genres of electronic music. And then raves started getting into like hip hop, maybe early 2000s. They started having raves with like DJ Dan, also with Blackstar.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely interchangeable. And
yeah,
we don't really use like the word rave as much as, let's say, the UK. Like, they'll say we're going to the rave, and it could be like a strictly like hip hop, you know, party. Huh. It's just, I guess it's more of like, you know, the lifestyle, but you know, both are obviously, you know, yeah, the rave.
Do you know what the origin of the word rave is?
According to the internet, the origin of the word rave comes from the late 1950s in London, where the term rave was used to describe the quote wild bohemian parties of the Soho beatnik jazz set.
Like, what's the rave scene been like in New York? Like, what was your introduction to that style of I guess I'll say nightlife, because raves usually happen in the dark.
Yeah.
Unless they go over into the next day. But like, what was your first rave in New York?
My first rave was definitely just some warehouse in Greenpoint that, you know, it was definitely someone's crib, and they're trying to get the, you know, rent paid, and
wow,
charge $5 at the door, jungle juice, you know, out the garbage can. Oh. And yeah.
Savage.
Yeah. It was sick. And we actually, that was like the only way that we can, you know, just drink as kids.
Like, for context, like, around what year was this and how old were you?
This was 2006, 2007.
Okay.
And I was 16, 17.
Hey.
Yeah.
I won't tell nobody.
Well, I mean, now everyone knows my age. Everyone knows my age. I'm 18, if you haven't noticed. Yeah, and have drinks and also get put onto music. But it was definitely not just about music. It was more like about the lifestyle and
like social.
Yeah. The raves always happen, you know. they happened before me, and they're going to continue to happen after me. And that's one thing that I always wanted to, I wanted to make sure that I was respecting the rave. I wanted to make sure that when I go, if it's a brand new, you know, circle of friends, you know me, like I'll stick to the corner. I'll dance by myself. I'll invite people that I know will respect it as well. Because these are all people that just want to, you know, they just want to party, let loose, and they want to do that comfortably. They don't want to have all these outsiders just occupying the space and being disrespectful and
right,
or not really understanding their space. And you know, like, let's say one party outside of a rave, you know, you're walking around with beers, and you're, you know, you're bumping into everyone, and that's okay. But you don't do that at raves. At raves, right. you make sure that you have this like radius that you just don't cross, you know.
Okay, it's so just, there's like some informal rules that are
definitely and
practiced.
And so, you know, going forward, it was always something that I didn't bring everyone to. I mean, you know, everyone knows that I go to these things and they're like, oh, you know, it's Nigel time. Like, Nigel's going out and like, he's not going to invite us. And we understand it because it's like, he's just going to like, you know, roll his face off and, you know, dance alone anyway. So it's like, we're going to hang out with him, but not really.
Sometimes you just need that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That's perfect because the rave starts at midnight. And by then, you know, everyone that has some sort of like a 9-to-5, they're like turned by midnight. So like I'm leaving the crib at midnight and everyone's already like, you know, on their way home. So I do everything that I have to do during the day. And then once I'm out, it's just my time. You know, I get to just let loose, have fun.
Yeah.
I saw Omar S.
Wow.
On Wednesday night, packed.
Bro, TFTI.
And it's like, that's just the way.
Yeah,
that's just the way it goes now.
Right.
You know?
That's like MoMA used to do his parties what, like on a Tuesday, or he still does it on a Tuesday.
He still does it on Wednesdays.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
I remember going to that, and, like,
and it still goes off.
It was like 4 a.m. Like on. Still, I'm like, wow.
Well, the thing is, like, we try to avoid the weekend crowd.
Mm.
You know, it's
who's we.
We as in people that want to curate a really good time, you know,
for sure,
because the weekend brings, you know, bridge and tunnel, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I want everyone that, you know, go out and have a good time. But like I said, there's people that don't respect it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, they'll get out of line and cause a scene and, you know, be a little extra mean. Like, we don't need that. Mm. We just want to dance. Like, we don't want to get grabbed up. We don't want to get... We don't want that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have it on a Wednesday when all the real ones come out, you know, and they go to work the following day and they're like, oh, I did that. And I slept for like 3 hours and that's it.
Man, I can't do that anymore.
I mean, you could.
I mean, I can, but then after like being up for about 4 hours, I'm like dead.
Well, the best part about it is that like we don't have to like drink, we don't have to take drugs. Like, it's sick to just go out, drink seltzer and dance, you know.
Is that your MO sometimes?
Yeah, when I want to be like a
drink seltzer and dance.
Yeah, like when I want to be a responsible raver, I'll definitely just like drink mad seltzer and like, oh man, I have to wake up at 9 in the morning. All right, cool. Well, all right, I'm gonna
side of lemon.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'll do it up. I'll dance and then I'll catch like, you know, the headliner for like half of their set and then, you know, just creep out through the back door and
a little Irish goodbye.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Always Irish goodbye.
I know. I'm kind of learning that. I don't know if you feel comfortable talking about the drug side of not just raves, but just drugs in New York.
Because
I feel like drugs in New York are different than drugs in LA, are different than drugs in every city, and just kind of like how people use them, like, socially.
Well, I feel like the further they get away from whatever, you know, border or port, the worse they're going to get.
Mm, so, like, quality-wise?
Quality-wise.
Okay.
So I always tell my friends to make sure, you know, if you have a drug kit, you know, get it tested.
Dance Safe. Remember Dance Safe?
Yeah.
Are they still around?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I did a rave for Dance Safe. I want to say it was like August.
Wow.
Yeah. At Knockdown Center.
Well, if anybody's listening that doesn't know about Dance Safe is this organization that's been around for like at least a decade that used to set up shop at different raves and like parties and test people's drugs to make sure that they were real.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shout out Dance Safe.
Yeah. Shout out Dance Safe for keeping people safe because I've seen some crazy shit like that I could never unsee.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is like with that, there's going to come drugs and it can't be, we can't be like, oh, don't do drugs, you know? Like,
right.
No, if you're going to do them, be safe about it.
Right.
You know, make sure you know where you're getting it from.
Yeah.
Like I said, if you don't know where you're getting from, get it tested.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people cut it up with some nasty stuff and, you don't want to end up, you know, sick.
Yeah, no.
You want to like be like, yo, last night or this morning was the best time of my life, you know? Just yeah. that little happy buzz. That's all I want. The last party that I DJed at was this one party called Muevete Heavy. Mm-hmm. And it's put together by a sick crew. And they work out of Elsewhere.
Elsewhere is in the Bushwick neighborhood of Brooklyn. It is a live music venue, nightclub, and art space with a really dope rooftop.
They love to like book around Hispanic, you know, DJs. So there's like a strong Latin vibe to it, mm-hmm. on top of it being, you know, as ravey as it can get. So it was a lot of fun. Yeah, I got to play like all these edits of like Dominican records that I love. Ooh. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that like recorded somewhere?
It's not.
That's the beauty of raves, though, or beauty of like a lot of parties is like there's so much content, but then there's so much content that does not actually get captured.
Yeah.
And it's just that memory that you keep.
Yeah.
That makes it so.
I should start it. I mean, technology it made it super easy to record it, but
right.
I just never do it.
I mean, you could just set up Anchor and just record your
right
podcast as you're doing it.
I mean, that'd be sick. I don't know if anyone is doing like, I guess, like an extensive, I guess, history or I guess like a oral report on like, let's say I talk about the party that I did and then I just play the whole set and then I talk about it afterwards. There you go. It's free. Anyone can do it.
That would be.
Yeah. I don't want to do it, but.
There was this one website that I found because I grew up in California. So I used to go to raves in all over California. Mom, sorry if you're listening. I was definitely sleeping at Kim's house. We used to go out to Vegas. We used to go out to like East LA from San Diego. This is like hours. We used to go to San Francisco and I got like super into San Francisco, like house scene. Like,
yeah.
Really into it. And then
so much sick house. Like my favorite, Honey Sound System out of San Francisco, and I went to one of their parties. It wasn't even here. It was on Holy Ship.
Oh, really?
and and it was just incredible. Yeah,
Holy Ship is the like it's a cruise.
It's like that EDM cruise.
Ooh, wow!
Yeah.
Wow, what brought you on there?
I went with Jubilee, and Jubilee had a couple sets, and I was just floating around trying to see if there was anything that I would like, because that's not necessarily my world. Like, there's like a lot of other genres in that whole thing that's not my thing whatsoever.
In EDM?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, cool. Let me see what I would like. Yeah.
So you had like a buffet?
Yeah. And but also, I did actually see them. In Brooklyn now that I mean, there's so many nights that I go out that I forget that I like have seen people a million times. And like, while I'm saying this, I've definitely seen them before. I saw them in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. at this one warehouse. It was like for like a Red Bull, like music, whatever thing that they do for like the month.
Shout out Red Bull.
Yeah.
And really, really supporting culture.
And they put this amazing rave together, and and the music was sick. It was just like a whole bunch of like sick house and some like disco edits, and it was like a giant like neon fluorescent dick just like on the wall.
What?
Yeah. And the whole time I'm like, all right, cool, I gotta hit up like the Rebel homie and see if like anyone is taking that, because I want that for the crib. And someone ended up taking it.
Oh my god,
if you want some like raw ass like house and disco, like they put a fucking party together.
Yeah, there used to be this website that like archived. I have to find it. It has to be around. It archived like all like old rave sets, like shit that I used to go to like in Cali, because you know like different coasts. But like there would be like I don't even remember like Jason Blakemore. I think he went on to become like a radio DJ, like DJ Dan, and like. Miles Maeda and like Miguel Miggs and like all that kind of like housey, super lounge like house.
Yeah.
And that's like only one piece of rave culture.
in terms of music.
I mean, the West has a strong history on that. And that's like something that I would have loved to experience. And
yeah. I recently got, did you see, I don't know, maybe you saw it, the like rave flyers of like 1990 or something.
And it was,
like
and 20, it was,
in
and
LA.
It was in LA, rave flyers.
I was like, oh, I went to that one.
That's awesome.
My friend Bella, who used to work at Ninja Tune, she's like ultimate music nerd. Like every time I need some new shit, I always hit her up. Bella put on this event. It was like a, like at this place called the Overpass, which is like after hours, after hours.
Is that the one where you get an address, you go to the address, and then someone tells you another address?
For sure.
In LA, like
yeah. But they move around all the time because rave. Back in the day, you used to have a call like an info line to get like something else to maybe get the address.
Yeah.
That was the shit.
Yeah, I mean, I love that LA still does that.
Yeah.
And over here, it's just like there's a spot. It'll open up when it opens up. You go to it until, you know, someone shuts it down, and then
it actually comes to mind another one I went to after that with Moody Man.
Yes.
Which was like, you could feel your heart beat
incredible
everywhere.
Yeah.
Like he's amazing. And
That voice, so buttery.
So buttery. Like I was totally sober.
Yeah.
I was dancing all fucking night till like maybe 5 a.m. from like midnight till 5 a.m. Like sober as fuck. Just like
sick
on drugs with music.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Yeah, that was definitely the last one. It was pretty grimy, but you know, that's the fun of it. Just, you know, strip your clothes off as soon as you get home. Take your shoes off.
Like, oh yeah, because you're just drenched.
And then like back in the day, we used to go to raves like outside. Come home and your nose is all like dusty.
Oh.
Maybe you didn't do that here because New York is brick city, but like in Cali, like we go to like raves and like fields and shit.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah, going to like abandoned hangars and shit like that. Yeah, no, we don't really have the space like that. It was just always warehouses here.
Yeah.
Which is sick, whatever. Yeah. I love it.
It's cool.
I love me a warehouse.
Someday you'll have your own warehouse.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be pretty sweet.
I don't know if I would want to throw a rave in it, but.
Just to hang out?
Yes.
Sweet. I have 100 more questions for you, but I think I'm done for now.
Well, thank you for having me. Okay. I really appreciate that.
For sure. Thanks
for
coming.
There'll be a million more raves. There's a rave tonight.
There's a rave tonight?
Hopefully you're down for a rave.
Yeah, I think so.
Cutting a watermelon up and mixing up with no food cocktail. Put in twang or salt. Twang it. I never knew that.
Thank you so much for listening. This is Current Mood. Stay tuned for our next episode.